Di. How are you?
And it's another Tuesday night. Yeah. So, are you doing good? I know you've been going through some stuff, and it's been cold weather up there, and I think a lot of us are going through doing a lot of emotional healing and getting rid of the old stuff and in with the new. Is that kind of what's going on with you? Because I know you've got a little bit of a cold today. So we were chatting about that.
I know. Earlier, it's that flu that's been going around, and it's gone around and around, and it's like you get over it, and then you pick it back up from somebody else. And I think there's been schools closed, actually, because so many of the students and staff were out with it. But I got my second round of it, and I feel like we were talking about earlier, it's like your body's purging. It's like purging out the old, and it's almost like you have to get physically sick to get rid of the stuff, which is very kind of strange. But I think it's true sometimes. It's like it takes you, it makes you go to bed and kind of keep to yourself for a while and just kind of nurse your body and focus on yourself for a little bit. And then you kind of, you know, get rid of it. It's like you're coughing off the crap or blowing it out your nose, I'll tell you.
Well, and so you don't have a date tonight, I'm assuming. I'm just kidding.
No,
but,
no dates.
No dates. So our show tonight, we're going to talk about emotional fitness, spiritual fitness, and physical fitness, right? And all of those are important in our daily life. And you and I have had some great experiences with clients and customers and people calling in and shows that we've done. But what's your take on emotional, spiritual, and physical fitness? Share with us.
I think it's, you know, the holistic approach to your whole body, your whole being. It's like you're in step. If your body feels emotionally, you know, physically fit, and you're emotionally in a good place, spiritually you're strong. It's the whole body approach. I've always liked the Eastern medicine approach of holistic health, where it's not just tackling the physical symptoms, but often the physical symptoms have manifested because of the emotional symptoms. And I really believe that. And I've really studied that, not as a professional person who studies medicine, but I've read a lot about holistic medicine and different ailments that people get. And it really seems to connect. It's like there's, you know, if you start studying the chakras and where different emotions are stored in your body, it's almost like people who've had a negative emotion that gets, you know, kind of aggravated over a period of years, they'll manifest physical symptoms in that part of the body. And it just seems to be so true. In fact, I was talking to another friend of mine, and she had a 2-year relationship that was very tumultuous. He was very hard on her. It was just a lot of pressure. And after she finally, ended the relationship, she got her period, and she bled for 3 weeks. And it was almost like all this emotional crap, you know, that he had distilled in her was kind of like the alpha male, really kind of controlling the female. And she just, as a woman, right, she wasn't feeling good. You know, it was like she had to purge all this crap out of her. And she said it's disgusting, but it was almost like she needed a cleansing, but it was in that area of her body, you know. And you see people who have, you know, heart problems because they've had, you know, a lack of love all their lives, or they have problems in like their gallbladder and stuff, which carries bitterness, you know, bitter feelings and self-worth issues. So I really believe that. Now, as far as the common cold and the flu, you know, it's like we all get it, but it seems like it kind of takes you out of your life for a little bit and kind of forces you to just take care of yourself. But I really feel like when you take care of the emotional stuff first, then the physical stuff always follows. And I mean, you're great with the physical stuff now. You know, I used to be very athletic. I'm in my 50s now. I don't like to run, but you love to run. You love to run, and you live
funny
to run. And, you know, I talk to you after you run, and you've got that runner's high, and you just feel good. I mean, am I not correct in this?
Yeah, you're so funny, though, because you and I talk about that, because I love to run. And it gives, and it, for me, physical fitness is super key, because you know, as you start growing spiritually and you start growing with your emotions, right, and you start healing both of those, and you become emotionally fit, physically fit, spiritually fit, your body, your physical body needs to be super strong. It just does, because it's taking in a lot of new energy, especially when you meditate, you know, and or you pray prayer meditation. Your body takes in, your physical body is taking in a lot of extra energy. And to the point where, and I know you and I've talked about this, or we've had people on our show in the past, they have said that when they started meditating, when they started praying, and when they started to become more aware of, you know, there's a deeper meaning to everything, or why is this happening to me again, then they started becoming more aware of that, then their physical, they felt their physical body just exhausted. And they had headaches, and I asked them, I said, what'd you do? And, you know, so a lot of times they do prayer, meditation, salt baths, or, you know, more prayer, more meditation. I guess that's kind of like when you get really drunk and you're hungover the next day, you start drinking again, the hair of the dog will be on the
All right.
Kidding. Could you imagine? I've done that before. You're
good,
not anymore.
Well, God,
yeah,
mind
right.
us for this.
Yeah, there you go. Am I doing bad by praying and meditating again? I would drink when I was in college and just drink again. You know, made myself feel better. Yeah, you know.
That's right.
But I'll tell you something that I've learned, and I got this from, I don't know, it was some meditation thing I did. Workshop, and if you picture the back of your neck open, and you know that it's open, and so all that extra energy that you're taking in can go out. And then as you become more strong, I know, right? It does work, by the way, because I would get literally exhausted when I started doing these meditations and work and everything. And then, you know, the emotional fitness, right? So it all goes hand in hand, spiritual, emotional, and physical. You just got to make sure your body is physically fit, because it's going to take on a lot of extra stuff there. And your body doesn't ask permission. It just takes it again and again and again, right? You know, so, you know, but the emotional stuff, right, the emotional fitness. You and I have dealt with so many people, right, that are crazy in relationships.
That's crazy. And I don't know them. I've been crazy. We both say that. We'll be talking and we'll say, oh, my God, we sound like those crazy women, those crazy men who are going, when will he call? Why isn't he calling?
Yeah,
we
right.
We make fun of, you know, our friends are going, why isn't he calling? And then we say it.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You and I both believe in this, being transparent, right? So we need to be transparent, which is true. I think we do. And Di, I want you to comment on that. But tell us what being transparent means. Can I say this as a little disclaimer here? But being transparent, and when we're all a little crazy, I told a client the other day, she goes, I don't want him to have somebody unless I have somebody. She's talking about her ex-husband. And I told her, I said, listen, I go, would you want your new guy to say that? I don't want my ex-wife to have anyone unless I have somebody. And I go, I know the answer to that. And I said her name. And she goes, you're right. And I said, that's right. I said, so you wish him well, let your ex go, because it doesn't serve you. And that way you can be with your new man. Anyway, so you and I were talking about it and laughing about it, but can you imagine some of the stuff that you and I would say, and we were really transparent, if we could really be all transparent like we want to? Di, is he going to call me today? Or, you know, you're asking me the same thing. What is he thinking? Yeah, because Di and I do readings on each other. So, what's your take on being transparent and being emotionally fit? Because I you and I really are, and I'm joking about that a little bit, but laughing too. So what's your take on it? Because that's important, I believe, being transparent, and that contributes to emotional fitness. So
I do. I think it does mean different things to different people. I am extremely transparent, and my life is truly an open book, and that works for me because because it kind of makes me boring to people. You know, nobody's ever speculating about my life or what I'm doing, because I just put it right out there. I don't try to hide what I'm doing. I'm not a private person. So being transparent to me is just, you know, this is who I am. But you know, other people are definitely more private than I am, and I get that. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. They don't want a bunch of people's energy in their relationship, so they try to keep it, you know, more of a private thing. And I get that. Just as long as they're being transparent with their partner, they're being transparent with themselves. And I think that when you're not, when you're trying to live an illusion or live a false reality, you attract negative energy because you're putting falsehood out there. You're not living in your own truth. And when you do that, it, I believe absolutely, it affects you in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, because you're not standing in your own truth. And I really believe, you know, they always say love is truth. I absolutely believe that. Love is truth and truth is love. And if you're really living the life you're meant to lead, then in the being the person, the soul that you were born to be, you're living in your own truth. So if you're trying to hide your truth or you're trying to create this illusion of a false truth, you're not being yourself. You're not being your authentic self. And so you're not open. It's like your energy's closed off because you can't be the real you. It's like you're wearing this mask and you're hiding yourself and you're covering yourself up and nobody really sees the real you. So, you know, to me, transparency is being true to yourself. And like it means different things to different people. And a perfect example, you know, I am literally an open book. The man I'm in love with is not. He's a very private person. He prefers to keep his private life to himself. He's in a profession where there's a lot of, you know, teenagers around, and he doesn't want a bunch of gossip, you know. I get that. As long as, you know, he's standing in his truth just like I am, you don't have to, you know, broadcast all your life to people. You don't want, you know, you don't want a bunch of people knowing your every move or when you're going to be away from home. You know, I always kid my daughter, like, when you shouldn't post your vacation pictures while you're on vacation. Wait till you get home, because then everybody knows that your house is empty. But I mean, there's things like that, you know.
That's good.
Like,
I like that.
A good burglar just has to go onto Facebook and see people's vacation pictures and go, oh, this family's gone. But it's being true to yourself, because when you're really being your authentic self, your energy is wide open. It's open. It's expansive. It's joyful. You feel good in your own skin. You know you're really going on the journey that you were meant to be on, and not trying to take a false journey, you know, and not pretending you're somebody else. So it affects you in every way. I absolutely believe, you know, the emotional part of it will manifest into physical symptoms, whether they're good symptoms or bad symptoms. So that, I think it's just so important as far as being true to yourself, which I think is one of the main purposes that we're on this life journey, is getting a closer relationship with your own soul. And your soul is your authentic self. It's your authentic nature. And so if you're wearing a false mask, you're not being your authentic self, and you're moving further away from that goal that God put in front of all of us. So I think it's just so important on a spiritual level too. So what is your take on it?
Emotional fitness is key. It is. Most of the people, when they get to coach, or, you know, life and spiritual coach like myself or you, I feel that they're like, okay, enough is enough. Why is this always happening to me? And then, you know, then you say, okay, you know, you go through it with them. And by the way, going through it with them means that you've gone through it with yourself. Okay. Yeah, I know you've done a lot of work on yourself. So have I. And, so if you're going to attract the greatest relationship ever, that's with you. But then the second best one, I think, is with your mate or your guy or your girl that you're in love with. But you got to love yourself first. Right. So, mm-hmm. That's the first thing that comes to mind, is when you're emotionally fit, you are in love with you. And I woke up hearing that the other day and coming out of a dream and waking up early in the morning, and I agree with that. And if you want, when you know what I did, is when you want something to happen and you want this guy or this girl, and you see them, you always see them as, I think we always see them as better than we, and then when we get with them and then we're spending time with them, we see the good and the not so good. So when you're meeting them and you're wanting to be with them and you go on those first few dates, or, you know, and then you're like, wow, they're amazing and wonderful. And if you are not amazing and wonderful yourself, or you don't feel like you're amazing and wonderful, then you're seeing them better than you are, and they're more emotionally fit. And maybe they are. And if that's the case, then you got to look at your own life and say, okay, what am I really doing here? And and that's something that I've done and continue to do. You know, the other day, because of certain things that I'm going through right now, and you know them, I wrote a whole example of what my life would look like with a man, you know, the man of my dreams, right? Mm-hmm. And from them, you know, living with him from the marriage proposal and everything. I know this sounds stupid, but I wrote it out like that I was living it, what I wanted to experience my life with on a daily basis. This is what I want to do when we wake up. This is what I want to do when, you know, we go to bed. And this is what I, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, sex, right? Well, yeah, but, you know, there's other things there, too, as well, in a daily walk with that person. But I wrote it out like that, and I go, okay, if he's going to be like this, do I measure up, like, for him? Because if I don't, mm-hmm. then I need to really work on myself. So instead of trying to get the great guy for me, or for somebody else, maybe get the great woman, it's like I'm learning to become the great woman, okay? And I figure if I become the great woman, then I can get the great guy. You know what I mean? And I got that in meditation from my angels, right? God, you know, higher power, however you want to say it, you know? And I was like, huh, who knew? Anyway, you know, and I always look at you as someone that, you know, is extremely together. And I get that you go down in the dumps to come back out, but that's just how you do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their own way of doing things. So I take 3 days and I'm over a situation, you know what I mean? Except this one that just happened tonight. This is going to take me a couple days because I'm my handle it. And it's not a guy. Uh-huh. It's a whole other situation.
Just a weird situation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, weird situation. Yeah. But that's what I do. And I also ask, you know, and this is something I think is important because it ties in with the spirituality. I go, okay, who is with me now to help me through this, right? What angel, because God's always there, because God's inside of each and every one of us. What angel is there for me? What ascended master is there for me? You know, and so that may surprise you, right? Because usually that ascended master has a specialty. And and then you go, what is their specialty? And maybe their specialty is removing obstacles. Maybe their specialty is giving you patience with children because they have them. So that's something I always ask too, because every relationship usually brings a new ascended master, new guide with it. You know what I mean? Because there's new lessons as well as the old ones. That's, isn't that neat? You know, that's something.
Yes.
Okay, why are you with me? You know, so anyway, that's something that I do as well. So does that make sense? Or does that sound totally out there?
Yeah.
It probably does.
No.
You know.
I think I like that. It's like a new set of challenges with every different relationship. So you need a new specialist. It's just like going to the specialist doctor, you know. So if you need, you know, brain surgery, you want to go to a brain surgeon. And we're all works in progress. You know, we're all works in progress. As long as you're being true to yourself, and we see this with adults too, who are not true to themselves, and it's so easy to look at it and judge. And I mean, we've all worn that false mask before. You know, we've all tried to impress, or you know, not really been absolutely clear about our likes and our dislikes. But you see that when people are dating and they're getting to know, you know, they'll just pretend to be a little bit different than they really are. You know, they're out with a new woman or man, and the new woman says, oh my gosh, I love, you know, cooking classes. And the guy's like, oh, me too. When really he's never gone to one. He hates to cook. You know, women do that all the time. Oh, I love sports, when they really hate it. But they'll pretend that. And the problem is, so say this couple then gets together. Well, the woman's got this false idea that the man's going to be hanging out in the kitchen with her, cooking up storm, and the man's got this idea that she's going to want to go to all the hockey games with him, and she hates it. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple years down the road, you got these two people who are holding grudges against each other because it's like, you told me you liked this, and I expected you to want to do these things with me, but you don't. And it's little stuff like that it seems like a minor detail at the time, but yet it can destroy a relationship. I had that in one of my relationships where
I put my spiritual beliefs right out there. In fact, we had just published our first book together about the law of attraction. And I gave this guy the book. I thought he had read it. Apparently, he only read one chapter. And said something, off the cuff, like, well, you don't believe all this, do you? And I'm like, I was completely taken aback. I was like, well, yeah. And then he backed down. He's like, no, I didn't mean that part. I mean, blah, blah, blah. And so he tried to soften it. He tried to back out of it. And I let it go. Well, you know, a couple years down the road, all of a sudden, my spiritual beliefs versus his very, very conservative, judgmental beliefs were, drove a wedge there. I couldn't be myself around him. I couldn't, and by being myself, I wasn't being a false personality. I just started not talking about my spiritual beliefs. You know, sometimes things would just pop out of my mouth. In conversation, I started filtering those things. So I wasn't being my authentic self because I didn't want to be judged. So it's not like I was trying to pretend like I didn't have them, but, my son passed away. I feel him around me all the time. I stopped saying, oh, Mikey's here today. You know, I stopped just throwing things out there, like talking to Mikey last night because I thought, oh, he's going to judge me on that. And so I wasn't being my authentic self, but he hadn't been his authentic self in the first place by telling me he accepted all of my beliefs. So things like that, it may seem so minor when you are just getting to know someone, but they'll become huge. And they'll end up causing you a great disservice because you're going to end up paying the price for that. You're going to be the one who suffers for that. So that's one of the key things for me. It's so important to be your real self. Because when you're trying to find a partner and you're connecting with these people and you're pretending like, I like the same things you do, you are giving them a false partner, basically. You're sitting there saying, I'm somebody I'm not. You're not going to bring the right partner into you when you're doing that. So it's like, okay, I want this guy to like me, but you know what? He may like this false you, but yet there's another guy standing right behind him who's going to love the real you because he's the same way, but you're blocking him out. You're not letting him in because you're being false with this other guy. So you're only hurting yourself when you're not being transparent. And I guess that's the big thing that I feel with transparency.
I agree with you, Di. I think it's important to be transparent. But you said something really key. So, if you are ashamed, if you're ashamed of the way that you live your life or what you do for a living or you try to hide it, right? I mean, there's been many movies about that. And, and some of them have been funny, some of them have been serious, but it doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I was always the one that I always felt like, was this true? Probably not. But I always felt like I was always the slowest in, playing baseball or doing any kind of sports, running track when I was in high school and all those things, playing volleyball. I played volleyball in junior high, 1 year in high school too, as well. But I felt like I was the slowest or didn't move the fastest, right? So I had this great gift where I could see and talk to angels and, I still do. And yet I was embarrassed about that because nobody else could, but they could run circles around me. I always felt, And I tell you, I have just got a lesson about that where, because I'm really good at at being an athlete now, running and everything. Forrest Gump's famous line, I ran everywhere. I run every day, everywhere if I can, because I get a lot of joy out of it. But you know what? I am a psychic, I have a hard time with, okay? Because I'm embarrassed about saying that to people. Like, I went out with a neurosurgeon before, right? And but he was metaphysical, so it was better with him. But there are certain people that I was in a chiropractor's office the other day, and I said, I'm a life and spiritual coach. I've seen angels around people since the age of 3. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I could feel her backing off, but a few minutes before, she's a runner, I'm a runner, and we were, like, connecting, And I go, so what does that say? And it was being emotionally fit is more than just the guy, how to get the guy or being what you are. Being emotionally fit is like, listen, own who you are, own everything about you, good and bad. And I love, last night or early this morning, I heard this voice and this angel who was there in my room, and I could see her. She goes, embrace your gifts. When you embrace your gifts, you grow. And so, and you know, she was talking about the angels, and for somebody else, it may be the same thing or something different, but embrace your gifts, and you know what they are. On some level, you get them, you know. And if you don't, Archangel Michael's always there, will show you. And so that's something about being transparent to yourself. Owning who you are and just being transparent with yourself. And, you know, people always, oh, what do the angels say? Own who you are and be transparent to yourself. I got that lesson again last night.
Yeah.
It's all good.
We keep getting it throughout our whole lives. We keep getting it hammered on it over and over. Yeah. And it's such a wonderful thing when you do feel whoever you're with, whether it's a partner or your family or your friend, when they completely love you for all of you. It's the greatest bond in the world. You know, like you and I talk on the phone a couple times a day. And I know I can say anything to you, and you accept me, and you're not going to judge me. Like you said, you were embarrassed to tell her you're a psychic. It's not that you're embarrassed that you're a psychic. It's that you know she's going to judge you and say, oh, she's a whack job, you know, because that's the image that people have. It's like, well, the crystal ball gypsy who's going to take my money and tell me horrible things are going to happen. You know, unfortunately, there's, you know, people who are, you know, what is the word that I want to use? They're scammers in every profession. You know, there's scammers in every profession, as you found out recently. And that's the thing. It's like there's always going to be somebody who's pretending to know more than they know, or pretending to be an expert when they're not. So it's not that you're embarrassed of who you are. It's that you have been judged for that, you know, harshly throughout your life from people, that it's just like, oh no, I don't even want to say this because here we go again. And I understand that, because when I talk about my son's spirit being around me, I know there are some people who are open to it and they feel the same way about their loved ones. And I know there's some people who are going to look at me and go, oh, she is just a whack job grieving mother. She thinks her dead son's ghost still around her, you know? And so you start filtering what you say, just because you don't want those looks of disdain. You know, it's this disapproval. Right. It's like your mom is disapproving of you, you know, when your friend is looking at you like that, and you feel like this, oh my gosh, they're not, you know, now they're looking at me as like I'm stupid or I'm less than. And so that's the feeling that you don't want to get. So you start filtering what you say. And I get that. I've done the same thing. And we're adults. And we both feel comfortable in our own skin, and yet we still do that.
We do. I tell you something right now, and you're right, because it's so funny. The person that I'm just talking about, she is like, you know, my grandmother used to call them charlatans. It's the old term, right?
Yes,
she's
that's
a charlatan.
The word I was looking for. Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, I said the only charlatan in that conversation was her, right? And it's been my experience. And I'm like, I shouldn't say that because that's judging. No, it's observing. And, you know, and so thank God for an awareness to see a psychic, call it a psychic ability, awareness, angels, a great friend who's a psychic too, you. Where we were able to figure something out tonight. I was like, wow, okay. And, you know, and I get it. But I'm going to share this with you. Later on today, I was running. And I have a friend of mine there, and he's a born-again Christian, right? And we make a joke. I said, would you give me, I said, we may be neighbors. He goes, yes, we may be up in heaven. He goes, and I'll share a cup of sugar with you. You know, he said, you come by anytime, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a strong Christian. And he says, Taria, I know you have a gift. I get it. And he says, and I want to share this with you. And he went on to say something, which is really cool, because, you know, for every one person that gives you grief about maybe about the kind of guys or girls you like, right? I have a friend of mine that has to hide that she prefers black men over white men, and her family's very Caucasian, and they are Caucasian, and the way they think is, I shouldn't say it's Caucasian, but you understand that thinking. And but the one that really matters every day is you, because you're in your own skin. And I get that. The only one that really matters with the situation is me, because I'm going to walk away from whoever and have to be who I really am. And that's me the psychic, me the clairvoyant, me the medium. I see dead people. Try saying that at a party.
That's
always good.
You know?
Yeah. So physically fit and emotionally fit is good. And, you know, but I know you've had your own issues with that or challenges with it. And so let me ask you a question. We talked about something a couple of weeks ago. Di, you said, what was it you said to me? You go, I go, Di, I can't be with him. I should never be intimate with somebody like that. You know, do you remember, Cherie, when we were 20-something in college, when we would say, oh, he's good-looking, it doesn't matter what he really thinks.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we've come a long way from now. I know you're in your 50s, and then I'll be there someday, but, you know, it's like when anything over the past, over 30 is got some wisdom about them, I'm assuming. That was one of your funny comments, but it's so true, because you know what? If we knew then what we know now, would we make better choices? Would we be more emotionally fit? I think we would.
Oh, my God. Definitely. Yeah. You know, we were laughing, and we were laughing at ourselves about sex. How, you know, when you're young, sometimes you may not even like that person, but they're a little bit attractive, and you went out and you had a great date with them. And it's like, oh, well, I'm not attracted to him, but okay, I'll go ahead and sleep with him. You know, it's like this totally different mentality. It's like the hormones are raging, and that's all you can, you don't even care. It's just sex for the sake of sex. It's funny when you get older and it's, you don't want that physical connection with someone who you don't have an emotional connection with. But yet, you know, no matter how old I am, when I have that great emotional, spiritual connection with somebody, then I really want them physically still. You know, that drive doesn't diminish, but I have to have the emotional connection now where I didn't when I was younger, you know. So for me to be wanting to rip some guy's clothes off, he's got to be really, you know, the foreplay has to be happening in my mind and in my spirit and my heart before it's going to happen, you know, physically. So it's just a totally different realm, you know, when you start getting older and you have all this experience behind you of relationships and just relating to people. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner, just friends, coworkers. You know, you start realizing, you know, just because somebody looks good or just because they've got something that they represent that you admire, whether it's money or status or prestige, whatever it is, that doesn't connect them to you. That doesn't make them desirable. Money does not make somebody desirable to me. And it's really sad when I see people my age who are still chasing that dollar sign. And somebody that we know is in a relationship like that, where it's like, well, the emotional connection's not really there, but that person, I like their lifestyle. They rub elbows with people that I'd like to rub elbows with. And so I'm going to pursue them. And it's very, very sad. It's almost like their soul is held back. It's like they're going backwards. It's like they're going to keep repeating kindergarten and never get past that because they keep making the same choice for money over love. And it's a sad state when you see people making choices like that, because it's like they came into this world with a lesson and they're just not getting it. And they're not allowing themselves to get it. So they're not growing as a soul. And I think that's the most important thing on this earth. And I think sometimes we have physical limitations. We have physical disabilities because it's going to force us. And you've healed yourself really of diabetes. You know, you came in to this world with this physical ailment that is so debilitating to people, and yet your doctors didn't even know you had it. So, I mean, that's huge. But you've done that on a whole body level. You know, you've done that spiritually, emotionally, as well as nutritionally, physically. And so I think there's just nothing that you can't conquer and really grow as a soul when you're really focused on it. But when you're focused on the old routines of, you know, this looks good to my eyeballs, so I'm going to chase this. That just doesn't work. You don't acquire the wisdom that you're supposed to have, I think, by the end of your life.
I do agree with you on that, and I'm going to share that with you. You know, healing myself of the sugar challenges, and if you ever have anything like a physical challenge, The best thing ever was a couple of months ago, I had surgery and to remove some lumps from my breast that were non-cancerous. I want to add that. And so I'm there with my doctor. He's looking over the lab results, right? And he goes, so it says here you have diabetes. And you and I went over that. And he goes, mm-hmm. he looks at my numbers. He goes, his jaw literally dropped. He says, you can't tell that you have that with your numbers, like with mm-hmm. kidneys. He goes, you must be in excellent control. And you know what? I was always aware of things when growing up. But I didn't really start taking care of myself till a few years ago because I got a real scare. And I shouldn't have, you know, I had 90-year-old kidneys that weren't working really well. And today they work perfectly. And that's liver that works and pancreas that's working mm-hmm. and, you know, and all those things. But the body has a wonderful wisdom to heal itself when you give it everything it needs, mind, body, and spirit, physical nutrition, physical fitness, spiritual fitness, and emotional fitness, and that body can repair itself. It really can. But mm-hmm. that doctor dropped his jaw. I will never forget that. What a moment in time that I will never forget, ever. You right. know what I mean? So, yeah, right. it was worth it, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I remember you were saying, should I even mention this? And I was like, yes, because what if you're under anesthesia and they think you're on all this insulin and you're not? There's things that could interfere with this that they might give you that it would send you into some kind of shock, you know? And you're like, is it worth mentioning? Because to you, that's at the point you're at where it's like, that's not even worth mentioning. It's like me saying, I had broken ribs. Well, they're healed now, so it's not even worth mentioning.
I'll never forget that. But that was a sweet moment in time. I've got to remember that and be so grateful for it because gratitude is super important to do whatever you do every morning, night, personal development, gratitude. And meditation and prayer. And my dad's really been a fan of that and taught me that from day one. But anyway, spiritual fitness. I want to share this with you. This is so cool because I have a couple that's working on that. Did you know that you can use an orgasm to manifest things? And then, you know, it was like, really? Yeah, you can. Because I taught it to, I didn't teach them how to orgasm. They know how to orgasm. But to a young married couple. And so they started having sex. And what happened is as they were having sex with each other, they started taking the energy from their root chakra, which is about an inch above your, 2 inches above your buttocks, you know, in the center of your, small of your back. And that's your root chakra. And then they went through the seven chakras, and you can find that online because there's six more. And they mm-hmm. channeled the energy up, you know, each of them did, and it took practice. And they had, you know, they had a symbol that they had in their mind's eye. I think she had the eight. They both used the eight, or he used the musical symbol, and she used the infinity symbol. And they channeled their energy and pictured it going to God up to their chakras. And so they wanted a TV. And so now they've got a big TV. And it's like hangs on the wall. And so they go, Tree, it really works. I was like, yeah, I know it does. I said, so now what are you going to channel? Well, we thought we would channel something so we could help. They love dogs, right? So that they could help the doggy and the people that help the dogs, right? That's their thing. So mm-hmm. they're, you know, they took the orgasm and it took them, they say, well, it took 2 weeks and the money came and the TV's here and it's hanging on a wall now. And now they're wanting to do stuff with the dogs, you know what I mean? Like the whatever. And so their next goal is to take their orgasm and when they're making love with each other and channel that energy through their chakras and picture helping. They have the whole thing they wrote out. So I'm shortening it a lot, but to be spiritually fit, prayer and meditation works, right? But if you've got a partner, mm-hmm. you can learn to manifest, you know, anything. And that's an ancient custom that
meditation.
Goes before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, but it goes back. It goes back before, you know, because my shaman healer shared that with me. How you know, not you know, he told me, he says when you're making love with somebody or by yourself, you know, he goes, channel that energy up to your chakras. Up to the top of your head, which is your seventh chakra. And, you know, for me, I have my own symbol that I use. And he said, and then picture that, you know, happening, what it feels like. And it takes work, right? Because you're thinking about, you know, you know, getting excited, and then you take it, and then you start thinking about, for them, it was their new TV and where they're going to hang it, and channeling that energy up, and voila, 2 weeks later, they got a TV. Now they're doing something for dogs, because it's important to give back, you know? So that's what they're doing. So anyway, I thought that's kind of cool, don't you? I mean,
it's very interesting. I mean, because really, I mean, that's the biggest, like, surge of energy, you know, when you're having an orgasm. I mean, that's like the biggest surge of energy. But I would think it would be very difficult to get your mind focused on something else, you know, other than what's happening, because it's almost like a out of body experience. It's like your mind really isn't working at that moment. So that's going to take some training.
It does. And there is a girl on YouTube that does a lot with it. Her name is Teal Swan. And I watched her YouTube videos, but she goes into it in great detail. And Teal Swan. And you can do it by yourself, okay, or you can do it with a partner. And so I have another client, like, I'm going to do it to manifest my partner. I go, great.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, can you imagine if you got to teach your brain to think or your mind to go outside of, you know, like thinking about the TV or helping the dogs and the dog people, then now she's, like, thinking about bringing her partner in. She doesn't have to think about too much. She's having sex with him, right, because she's already having sex with herself.
Whatever works.
Yeah, you know, so prayer and meditation. You've had some great experiences with meditating and prayer too as well. Prayer is when you're asking, meditating when you're listening. How do you meditate? I mean, what do you do? You know, because I think you do a great job, and I know you get answers. And
I do, and it's weird because I do better in the bathtub. For some reason, water seems to be a conduit for me. But when I'm falling asleep or when I'm just waking up, it's almost like when your mind is kind of still in that fuzzy stage where you can be somewhere else. You're not totally back in your own body yet. And I feel like I can connect better when my mind is still kind of in that fuzzy la-la land, you know. And so I, you know, for people who are looking for answers for something, what I learned is, like, to ask that question before you go to sleep. Ask your angels, ask your guides, ask God, you know, please give me some answers. And a lot of times you'll get that as you're waking up. It's like you'll have this flash, or you'll have like a dream, like a vision, and you'll basically, it's giving you the answer to your question. So that's how I usually meditate. You know, when praying, I do it, you know, when I'm very, very awake usually. You know, that's when you're focused. You're asking, you know, you're focused and you're thanking them. You're showing your gratitude. And I think that's always important when you're praying.
Yeah, I agree with you.
To say,
I do.
You know, thank you for all that you have given me. Please, God, I also want this other thing, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm
sorry.
It's very
right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So, you know, it's just usually when I'm in prayer, it's when I'm very much awake. When I'm meditating, it's when I'm kind of almost in that drifting off state, you know. It's either I'm going to sleep or I'm waking up or I'm just soaking in the bathtub and I'm just kind of vegging out, you know. And that's when I usually get more visions or words. Sometimes I'll get a word in my head. Sometimes you'll get a voice in your head that you recognize is not your own. And I think a lot of people do that and they don't realize it. Because when we're thinking, we're actually thinking in our own voice. So if people could hear what their mind is thinking over again, we really do sound insane, because it's like you'll be repeating the same sentence over and over in your head, or you'll a snippet of conversation, or it's just like earworms. They talk about songs being earworms. You'll keep hearing the same song over and over in your head. And if you had a running tape recording of what thoughts are going on in your head, we would all sound crazy. But unless you're hearing a song or hearing somebody else saying something that you have already heard, like you're a person who had been talking to you, sometimes you'll get words in your head, and if you're really cognizant of it, you'll recognize it's not coming from your own voice, but it doesn't scare you because it's in your head. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you really pay attention to those messages that you get, it's really divine messages. It's your guides, your angels, whoever, your loved ones who are passed on. They're giving you directions, and you just have to pay attention if it's not coming in your own voice.
That's true. You know, because, mm-hmm. yeah, there you go. So you can say, Mom, I'm hearing voices in my head.
Right.
Or, honey, yes, it's your mansion. Right? So, but you're right. You're
She's
right.
Really crazy.
Yeah, exactly. My grandmother used to say, well, as long as they're not answering you, but Grandma, they are. My angels.
Yes.
She goes, that's okay. She goes, the leprechauns are talking to me. They stole my gold. And I was like, okay, Grandma. You know, never took it, never realized that until much later in school, you know, elementary school, that no, the leprechauns didn't steal my grandmother's gold. We stole theirs, you know, so we had a little fun to, you know, chat about that as I was growing up. But yeah, so meditation, you know, I've had some amazing meditation, and you're right. So I'll share this with you, you know, too, Diana. We've talked about it before, but about 90 seconds before you wake up, totally wake up, that's in between sleep and wake state, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know,
the twilight.
When you've got animals.
Yeah,
the twilight. And that's when the animals got to be very quiet because my dogs would be coming up to jump on me. Or maybe your mm-hmm. dogs or cat will too as well. Well, you don't have dogs or cat, but anybody else is listening later on or whatever. But if you ask that question, 90 seconds in the twilight state, you'll get a straight answer, and you'll get, I mean, and trust it, because it's right. It's right mm-hmm. before you wake up, before that your personality takes over, because right then and there you're at your higher state of awareness, consciousness, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
and you can get answers. So, yeah, that works. And I love praying, but prayer is always something, you know, I'm so grateful for. And I always like to start my mm-hmm. prayers out like that. I am so grateful for this, and this. And thank you for giving me this, and this, right? And I've prayed with clients before. You and I have prayed together. And I go, thank you for bringing mm-hmm. The angels, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all the light beings together for us to pray with. And thank you for giving us this, and this, whatever we're looking to create, you know. But I always think, thank you. Gratitude is the most important thing to start a prayer with, don't you think? You know?
Yes,
as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it just elevates your own being when you're feeling that attitude of gratitude. You know, you're coming from this open state of love instead of this needy, I don't have this, please give me this, you know. And so you're just opening up your soul, you're just opening up your energy being and saying, I'm thankful for all these things I have. And you feel abundant, you feel like I've got everything I need. So then when you're asking, you know, I'd also like this, you are in that state of feeling like I'm going to get it because I already have this stuff that I need and I'm just asking for this one more thing. You know, it's like the cherry on the sundae. And so, although many times we're praying, that's not how it feels at all. You know, we're praying in life or death situations. We're praying for somebody's brain tumor to suddenly dissolve. You know, I mean, we're praying for miracles, medical miracles or financial miracles. So a lot of times we feel definitely in lack when we're praying. And that's the whole thing with prayer, though. God understands that. You know, God understands sometimes you're having an off day. You're not feeling so prosperous and abundant. You know, you're just feeling like you need help, and that's why you're asking. But so I think that's why it's important to also have those days where you're saying, I'm not asking for anything, God. I'm just saying thank you. You know, I'm just saying thank you for the small miracles that you've given me. Yeah, and I feel like that really keeps
that's
you
good. I agree
in
with
connection.
You.
Because it's like having a grateful child. It's like God has a grateful child. It's like, you know, when we're parents and we have a spoiled brat child or we have a grateful child, you want to keep giving stuff to the child who's grateful and thankful for everything you've already given them. When you see a kid who's a spoiled brat and they don't even care about the stuff they've already got, you don't want to give them anything more. You're like, you need to learn a little gratitude and thankfulness before you're going to get more. So I feel like God kind of feels like that way about us.
I agree with you on that, too. That's a good point, you know. So, I you know, whenever I hear a great song on the radio, right, and I'll just dedicate it to my angels and God, I go, here you go, you know, and some of them, you know, or there was a Michael Bublé song on the other day. I was like, it's for you, God. It's for you, Jesus. This is how much I love you. And you know, it was cool. And, you know, or there was a Santana one the other day I came on. I was like, oh, this is for you, angels. You know, so anyway, that you give that to them and they may or may not like it, but they always like the source that it came from, which was me or you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked too as well. So I like that. Meditation works, prayer works. And asking, you know, I tell you something that really works. if you're going through something, ask the angel or guide that's there with you, and you're going to find out a lot about that challenge right then and there. Because if Archangel Haniel's with you, for instance, she's really helping you come from a state of grace. Because for me, when I get upset, sometimes it's hard for me to be graceful. I just want to scream and yell. I mean, I don't know how you are, mm-hmm. Di. Do you get mad? I mean, right now I'm mad.
You see me.
I'm mad about it. Yeah. You see me. I get mad at a situation. I call Di works at night works late night sometimes. And so I'll call her at 3 in the morning. I've got this solution now. I got this. I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah. I mean, I woke up and I'm mad and I'm stewing, and I'm a stewer.
So, okay, I'm going to do that. And then last night I was upset about something and I called, last night I sent Di a couple pictures of Batman. If you go on her Facebook, Batman eating a cookie. So he gets his nutrition from that, our fitness from eating cookies, and I said, how do we get ours, And if you go to our, I'm going to say this right now, it's the perfect time. If you go to Instagram and hit Angel Coaches, you'll see it. We've got some cool posts up there. But Batman is eating a cookie. Who's ever seen Batman eat a cookie? But he gets his nutrition that way, and we get ours differently. Mm-hmm. But it will all work. Right. So you got to figure out where it works for you, so, too, as well. But, there's doing, I do. Archangel Haniel's been in my life for now, and I go, okay, what are you here for? And she goes, you're worried about, cleaning your house. I don't know how many of you guys worry about that, but she goes, you will find someone to help you with that. And I was like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. Is she talking about a man? No, I think she's talking about, me getting a cleaning lady because I just got a new place and I'm excited about it. I struggle with, I can be graceful most of the time or have, empathy. And I usually do not lash out at people unless you're the 19th jaywalker that I meet every day. So she's mm-hmm. like, I'm here to help you have grace. And I was like, yay, I need a lot of that. So
we all do.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, so that's something that I do. So, but just look at the angel, ask the angel, and that angel, that name will come to you. And you're going to say, who knew? Anyway, I think we're running out of time. So Angel Coaches on Instagram, that you can go see some of the things that we're posting. We've got some cool things there. And then Dear Angels, we put our letters from our clients there. So you can read what people are saying and go, oh, that sounds like something I'm going through. Yeah, similar, right? Or we always have a friend that's going through it. Right,
I have a friend. It's not me. It's a friend. Yeah,
it's a friend, right. I'm asking a question for him or her, right? So I'll work there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Di and I are going to get busy and put on our show page and put some really cool stuff on there so you guys will get to see it. We're so grateful for BBS. They've really been such a wonderful, wonderful people in helping us, and we appreciate them. And you guys... take care. Have a great now, and we will see you next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And if you hit us up on Angel Coaches, on Dear Angels, or you can get Tree Abbott at Angel Coach or Diane Bucci on the Facebook page. So anyway, we'll take care. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.